We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. God's word for our instruction this morning. Please be seated. On this Sunday, I think it's very fitting that we're going to sing Amazing Grace. On this Sunday, I think it's very fitting that once again, each one of us can celebrate the grace of God in our lives, because we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for His grace. When Martin Luther nailed his theses on the door of that German church in Wittenberg in October 1517, he re-emphasized the grace of God for all of Christendom. Once there were three Lutheran pastors that were invited by a Roman Catholic priest to attend Mass at his church. The Lutherans had arrived a bit late. All of the pews were filled, and so these three Lutheran pastors had to stand at the back of that church. Well, the priest noticed them as he began his Mass, and he whispered to one of the altar boys, "Get three chairs for our Lutheran friends." Well, the altar boy didn't hear those instructions, so the priest spoke a little bit louder, and he motioned to the rear of the congregation, "Three chairs for the Lutherans." Dutifully, the altar boy arose, stepped to the altar rail, and loudly proclaimed to the entire congregation, Three cheers for the Lutherans. May our celebration of communion today remind us again of the amazing grace of God that does transcend all denominations. And regardless of what denomination you may adhere to, as long as you've asked Jesus Christ to become your Lord and your Savior, you are welcome to share in our open communion. Did you know our scripture lesson that I read today is one of only four in the entire New Testament that explicitly mentions the sharing of the bread and the cup by Jesus Christ? And as we think about communion and its institution as an ordinance of the church, I think there are several thoughtful considerations that we can keep in mind that could give us added light on our observance of communion together today. First of all, this took place toward the end of a three-year association on the part of Jesus and his disciples. You know, those individuals who participated in the first communion didn't just happen to meet on the streets of Jerusalem and decide to have a supper together. These disciples had walked and he had talked with Jesus. They had heard his amazing teachings. They had witnessed the miraculous power of Jesus. And they had seen his special awareness of God the Father. And although not fully understanding at the moment, this act on the part of Jesus did create in the disciples a sense of expectancy. Second, the ideas flowing through the institution of communion had deep roots in the traditions of the Jewish people. The Passover meal was not new. Rather, it was history in the finest sense of the word, handed down from their forebears and observed every year. Every facet of the Passover observance had significance, and the new application would be a really rich blossoming forth of a great spiritual heritage, as well as a picture, a prophetic picture of the coming sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Third, remember that this dramatic and consistent observance was never practiced in the temple, not practiced in a synagogue, but it was practiced in a home. And just as the Passover had been observed down through the years, this can remind us today of the importance of every home as a place for spiritual teaching and spiritual observances. Fourth, Jesus chose a common meal, what the brethren call the love feast, and we'll be celebrating the love feast in a few weeks, the beginning of November. The love feast as a backdrop for his eternal message. And then as they were eating, the Bible says the Lord took the bread and the cup at the table as basic tenets for his symbolic message. I think Jesus chose them to indicate that the basic elements of this memorial supper would be available. They'd be available whenever, wherever, and with whomever its observance would be desired. Certainly, Jesus Christ in his ministry used simple things to indicate deep spiritual truths. And fifth, I think we can observe that Jesus gave thanks and blessed the bread and the cup as he gave it to each of the disciples. And Jesus was offering an intentional prayer. And by his intentional prayer, he recognized the Lord God as the source of all of life's mercies. But beyond the theological arguments that have occurred over the years about the real presence during the communion service, by this prayer, the bread and the cup are set apart to the sacred and mystical presence of God during the service itself. And also in our text, did you notice how Jesus identified the bread and the fruit of the vine as my body, my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the sins of humankind? We must never forget that communion symbolically represents the giving of self on the part of Jesus, a willing act of sacrifice, atonement, and reconciliation. And further, Jesus told us to share this meal in remembrance of him. If you want to know what the Lord wished those disciples and us to remember, here it is in capsule form. He wanted us to remember his sacrificial death, his burial, and his bodily resurrection. Now, in the Protestant tradition, this observance is symbolic and it's a memorial, an outward sign of an inward grace. From the Roman Catholic tradition, communion is considered to be sacerdotal, a tangible channel of saving grace. For most of us, this service is a symbol, a memorial, a visible reminder of Christ's death and of our obligation to live a life that's not centered on self, but to live a life that is centered right here on the cross. Indeed, didn't Jesus say this in Matthew 16:24? If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And just as this observance was meant to convey a mystical presence of the risen Lord, our lives are meant to be continual vehicles of his presence, the means by which we don't just commune with him, but the means by which we serve one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus took that simple meal, that simple assemblage, was lifted up by Jesus to a level of potentially uncommon glory. You know, there's a testimony for us today from that upper room. And that testimony is still that the simple things of everyday life can be transformed into channels of God's grace. And through these, God can break upon our human scene with his living and divine presence. We can approach any communion service seeking to leave the encounter with God with an even more of a reverence for every human life, a lot more aware that all of the Christian life can be holy, it can be set apart, it can be fully dedicated to living a life like Jesus did in a self-sacrificing manner. If we don't think observing communion is a set-apart, serious act of worship, we have to consider this stern warning written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 29. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 29. As we share the bread and the cup today, and as we share the bread and the cup in any communion service, let's always be clear about its meaning and its application. Let's always prepare ourselves spiritually for the observance itself. But above all, communion is a time when we can re-examine ourselves and also rededicate ourselves to living out life according to Jesus' lifestyle in our daily lives as we endeavor to do what? Walk in His steps. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, our Lord and our God, abide with us today as we take this journey back in time, seeking to understand more about your last Passover observance with your disciples. We've considered again that night you instituted this commemoration, yet we still mull over its full meaning. Lord, we would ask that each one of us would seek forgiveness, seek cleansing from our iniquities. May we, your disciples, in the present grasp anew the transcendent meaning of this event we will shortly participate in. Remind us of the cost of our salvation as well as the responsibility this grace brings to each one of us. Give us the passion and daring to be your people 24/7. For we pray this in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, I would invite you at this time to remain seated. Turn to number 343 as you remain seated, Amazing Grace. And I would ask our ushers if they would approach the altar as we prepare for our service of communion. Remain seated, please, as you turn to number 343, Amazing Grace.